Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Turn up your volume. Your volume.
Because you're about to listen to
The Sick Podcast.
The Sick Podcast. With Tony Marinaro.
55 seconds left in the penalty, a minute and 27 seconds left in regulation time. Boston 4, Montreal 3. Lafleur coming out rather gingerly on the right side. He gives it into Lemaire, back to Lafleur. Oh!
The Sickest Montreal Canadiens Podcast.
You're in the bomb!
Sports entertainment like no other.
Rejoint, on lui fait perdre la rondelle, une passe devant. Et c'est la victoire des Canadiens. Ce sera la victoire des Canadiens. Stanley pour les Canadiens. Le 23e de l'histoire.
You found the dogs! John, you found the dogs! He found the dogs!
And all together, they worked a young team to the top. And now, a 24th Stanley Cup banner will hang from the rafters of the famous Forum in Montreal. The Canadiens win the Stanley Cup!
Brought to you by Energy Transportation Group. Driven to be different. LaVie.tv. Embrace your true nature. And Playground, your premier gaming destination. It's gonna be sick.
Marinaro live on this Thursday, March 7th. It is 2 minutes past 10 o'clock, and really nobody really cares that the Montreal Canadiens lost by a score of 4-1 in Carolina to the Hurricanes. All everyone is talking about right now is, are the Montreal Canadiens going to make a trade tomorrow? Tomorrow's NHL trade deadline day. Will they make it tonight? Will it be in the wee hours of the morning? Is it going to be early tomorrow morning? Is it going to be sometime around noon? Is it going to be right at the 3 p.m. deadline? Is it going to be announced after 3 o'clock as some trades start to filter in and sometimes announcements are made later on? Who has played their last game as a Montreal Canadian? And if the Montreal Canadiens try and go out and get a player that will make them better as of next season, is there a player playing in tonight's game that other teams are looking at saying, hey, you know what? I think this guy could be a really good player going forward. Or are the Montreal Canadiens not even thinking of trying to make a trade like that? What are the Canadiens looking at? Are the Canadiens looking at trying to stockpile draft picks to try and make a trade tomorrow? Are they looking to try and stockpile draft picks to make a trade on draft day? Does that mean that the door is closed now for David Savard and the Montreal Canadiens because Toronto, which seemed like a pretty logical destination, went out and got former Montreal Canadian Joel Edmondson? So many things to discuss, and we're going to get to it with Grant McCagg of Recruits.ca and the DraftCast podcast. But former scout of the Montreal Canadiens and the Bob Gainey regime, of course, with Recruits and Recruits.ca. But there's so many things we have to get to. And one of the things that we're going to get to is going to be Energy Transportation Group, one of our proud partners and sponsors, of course, Energy Transportation Group. They are a leading full-service logistics provider serving all of North America. They are driven to be different. Also, these guys right over here, La Bite de TB, brewed in Quebec and a winner of a dozen international awards. La Bite de TB offers quality microbrewery beers made with premium ingredients for everyone's taste. La Bite de TB, embrace your true nature. Also brought to you in part by Playground. Experience Playground like never before. Enjoy world-class poker, 900-plus gaming machines and weekly events, karaoke Mondays, comedy Wednesdays, live bands on Fridays and Saturdays, and much more. Discover their latest additions, ETC Steakhouse, Drunken Dragons, Exquisite Sushi, the Esperanto Cigar Lounge, and Babel Lounge's Mezza and Cocktails. Playground is your ultimate destination for entertainment. Just over the Mercier Bridge, only minutes from downtown Montreal. Visit playground.ca for details. And Accent Insurance Solutions, with the Sick Podcast. You know, together we go hand in hand, and you know all insurance isn't created equal, and you know where to find the right solution for you. Accent Insurance. Accent doesn't sell insurance. They shop it for you to find the right product right on the money, whatever your insurance needs are, home, automobile, or business. Call the Accent team today, or maybe even call them tomorrow at 514-363-3636. Without further ado, let's bring him in. Former Montreal Canadiens scout with Recruits and Recruits.ca. Of course, you can check out the website. You can subscribe for $3.99 per month, monthly subscription. You're going to see that you're never going to cancel your subscription. He's that good. He's got in-depth interviews. He's got scouting reports. He's got mock drafts. He's got details. He's got interviews. He's got everything. Graham McKagg, what's going on?
Hey, Tony. Oh, I hope you don't want to talk too much about the game tonight. Lots of other stuff to talk about.
We're going to talk a little bit about the game. We're going to talk about the other stuff as well. By the way, I saw on Twitter, and I don't want to take credit for this, but somebody called you the grandfather. So I spoke to Agnello and Sammy about it, and the shirts are on the press right now as we speak. So you're going to have shirts, the grandfather. Okay.
Oh boy. Yeah.
Yeah. Would you like to have the picture of the Godfather, Marlon Brando, or would you like to have your own somewhere in an arena scouting or whatever, or you on the podcast? You name it, the shirts are being printed.
Okay. No pictures of me, please.
All right. Okay. Before we get to anything, there was a trade earlier this afternoon that the Montreal Canadiens didn't make. So let's get to that. Let's bring it up if we can. The Canadiens made the announcement via their Twitter account, and they made it sometime just before 1 o'clock this afternoon. I think we have it. Let's see if we do. If Sammy, Agnello, Juliana can bring it up at Master Control, I would very much appreciate it. Do we have it? Okay. We don't have it. All right. Okay. We don't have it.
I can tell you the trade if you don't remember, Tony.
No. I have it. It's just that I wanted to bring up the entire picture. Right. Yeah. Okay. Which I did. Okay. So there you go. All right. Jacob Perreault goes from Anaheim to Montreal. And of course, Jan Michak goes from Montreal to Anaheim. Your thoughts?
A minor league deal at this point. I don't know, Perreault. I mean, I had him ranked top 20 in his draft year, but he certainly hasn't.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he hasn't panned out as, I mean, the talent, top 20 talent all day long, but he's yet to figure out just how hard you have to work with that talent to play at the NHL level. I mean, you can't just get by on natural skill. Nobody can. So, I've talked to scouts since, and I went back and looked at my old scouting reports and then quotes, and, you know, loads of talent, but questions about his character when it comes to how hard he works, especially away from the puck. It just doesn't. And I mean, I looked at his stats and I looked at his last game, and it wasn't very pretty. He's got no goals, two assists in his last 12 games, minus nine, two hits. And yeah, I mean, you could see like he's lost his confidence and doesn't look very good right now. So change of scenery, I think, is in order for him. Obviously, Mishak's playing better right now, and he's a lot more competitive, but Perreault's got a lot more natural talent. So what the Canadians, I guess, are hoping, he's still very young, obviously, hoping that he figures it out, figures out that he's got to work harder and maybe train harder in the offseason and figure out everything that he needs to do to be a better pro. Because certainly the talent is there to be to score goals at any level, if he can figure out the rest of it. But that's, for a lot of guys, that never happens, right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's a gamble. But for a team that is looking for potential top six, top nine players that can contribute offensively, the more of them, the more potential guys you get, the better the odds are that you're going to find six to nine guys that can do that job. So I get why they did it. Mishak was not going to end up, he was going to be passed on the depth chart by Kapanen and Beck next year, probably right away. They're
both
both better prospects. So I didn't see him. I just couldn't picture him getting a spot in the Canadiens lineup anytime soon. So why not trade him for a player that has scoring potential, but just hasn't figured out what he needs to do yet to reach his potential?
You know, when it came across social media, I was all excited when I saw the family name Perreault. I said, oh my God, they were able to grab Gabe Perreault from the New York Rangers. And Gabe Perreault, of course, played with the U.S. National Development team for a couple of years and was, you know, played with the likes of Will Smith and Cole Iserman and all those guys. And I said, you know what? Oh, wow. And having a real good year with Boston College with 50 points in 30 games. And, you know, he slipped or he dipped in the draft a year ago. A lot of people thought that he was going to go maybe top 15. He ends up going 23rd. But then when I saw the Anaheim Ducks, I said, no, it can't be, obviously. Gabe Perreault doesn't play for – oh, Jacob Perreault plays for them. All right, okay. Who is this guy? And yeah, that's it.
I thought Gilbert Perreault when I saw it, Tony. That's what I was hoping.
Gilbert Perreault would have been nice. I think Gilbert Perreault was – he was obviously first overall, and he was – My dad talks about him to this day. He's like, Gilbert Perreault was one of his favorite players. Like, he was really unbelievable. Yeah. Okay. I saw some highlights of Jacob Perreault, and I saw him score. Like, I saw some really amazing hands. As a matter of fact, I even saw like a Michigan goal, this and that. I asked around too, and what I was told was David Perreault's skill set minus the character and the heart and the smarts. And I'm like, oh man, well that's more like
two or three inches shorter too. Like, he's not as big as Perreault either, right?
David Perreault,
that's not really a good, I don't think, because right away they came up with three things and we came up with another of what, why they're not similar, I think maybe what they're doing here, Tony, is they're playing the long game. The late great Brian Murray once traded for Rob Niedermeyer because he knew that Scott would and they wanted to play together at some point in their career. And he left and came back to Ottawa, and Brian Burke came in and he managed to sign Scott Niedermeyer because Rob was playing there, so. Maybe he picked him up so that when Gabe becomes a free agent in 7 years, he'll want to play for the Habs.
All right, okay. So for now, look, he's a Montreal boy, of course. He's 21 years old. He'll turn 22 on the 15th of April. He was with the San Diego Gulls, which is the American Hockey League affiliate, of course, for the Anaheim Ducks. And his career was going nowhere there with Anaheim, and Mishak's career was going nowhere with Montreal. And so, you know, two organizations swap two young players, hoping that they can jumpstart their careers. And if not, you know, the Canadians get a Perreault, who's a local kid, who's probably going to be happier playing in Laval than he would be playing in San Diego. Maybe.
Anyway. Well, hopefully he's inspired, playing in his home province for the organization that his father played for. And Mishak actually has improved quite a bit this year. And I wouldn't say that he'd regressed this year. He made a step. So, who knows? Maybe Anaheim down the road is looking for that character kind of guy on their fourth line or something. I just think the Canadians are going to want size.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle, a run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Down there. And at center, he's not going to be a center with, he wasn't going to be a center with the Canadians, I don't think, because they've just got too many good young prospects coming up that are better. So yeah, change of scenery for both. And hopefully they get better opportunity. Perreault looked, I mean, the last game they were down a goal or they were up a goal. And after about 4.5 minute mark, 4 minutes left, he didn't see the ice again, right? Protecting the lead. So he's not, I think the falling out of favor, playing about 13 minutes a game, third line, and that's not going to be his role. He's either kind of a top six guy that scores or he's not helping you a heck of a lot. So change of scenery, better opportunity in Laval, and hopefully he starts to score some goals again because he's got an NHL shot. It's probably his best weapon. And if he can get back to using it, score some goals, gain some confidence, work hard, you never know. Maybe he can revive his career.
Isn't that something? Former Hab Yannick Perreault, whose kids are Jacob, just acquired by the Canadians, of course, Jeremy, and Gabe, who's a draft pick of the New York Rangers, and daughter Liliane, all play ice hockey. Well, the apple, I guess, didn't fall too far from the tree. All right, okay. Canadians lose by a score of 4-1 versus the Carolina Hurricanes. By the way, the Hurricanes supposedly are in advanced talks for Jake Guentzel of the Pittsburgh Penguins. You take a look at that team. If they add Guentzel, what do you think their chances are of going very far in the playoffs in the Eastern Conference?
Well, I think the East is wide open this year. Like, there's about five or six teams that have a legitimate shot of winning, I think. Nobody's running away with the East, that's for sure. It's pretty tight. So, they've had problems scoring, getting offense going this year, and that will be one more piece for the top six, a vital one, I think, you get him with Aho. And that's a pretty nice combo right there. And I think that they could make some noise. Guentzel's been a playoff guy, right? They need a guy that has a playoff pedigree that has been there and done that. And Guentzel certainly, I mean, I saw a stat there. He's one of the best goal scorers, playoff goal scorers of the past decade. So, be a great addition for them for sure.
Yeah. You have a good chance of being one of the best playoff goal scorers of the last decade if you play with like one of the five best players of all time.
True. You know? But you still got to put it in the net, you know?
Yeah, you're right about that. And then again, others are going to debate that Sidney Crosby's not a top five player of all time. Look, so sure. I started pretty much watching hockey once again, 79, 80s. And for me, in my lifetime, so I'm at a certain age, Wayne Gretzky, Mario Lemieux, and Sidney Crosby, I think, are the three best players I've ever seen.
Well, I mean, you have to consider just how all around a player he is, character, the defensive play, everything. When you put everything in, like, I mean, there's been some other greats in that time, obviously, Yzerman, Messier, Francis, Jagr,
you know, Forsberg.
Yeah, you can name a bunch, but. Sidney, I think before he's all said and done, he's going to be right at the top, like top three scorers of all time. Probably Sakic, number two.
Another good
Maybe
one.
Number two. What's that?
Yeah. Sakic, another good one.
Yeah, true. No, there's been some bad. Lindros, if he didn't get hurt, you know, he'd be in the conversation too. He was pretty dominant. So some dandies.
And yeah, McDavid, some dandies for sure.
You can't, you know.
Yeah, I still got Crosby ahead of him, but obviously Crosby's got a lot less time left than McDavid. McDavid's still going to be in this league for a very long time, at least we hope anyway. Okay, let's bring up the lineups if we can. We're going to start with the Carolina Hurricanes. Aho in between Teravainen and Svechnikov, Drury with Nikash, and Bunting, Stahl, Jarvis, Martinuk, Kotkaniemi, Fast, and Neeson. Slavin and Burns, Brady Shea and Pesci and Orlov and Chatfield in goal was Anderson. Look, I know we've talked about him.
Bunting was a scratch because he's going to be part of the deal for.
You're right. If we can on RDS, they showed some of the players who were a scratch tonight. If we can bring that up, do we have it? Yeah, I think we do. Okay, Jason Zucker of Arizona, Tyler Toffoli of the Devils, Barabanov and Duclair of San Jose. Duclair, ultimately, by the way, there was a trade there, which we're going to talk about. Michael Bunting of the Carolina Hurricanes and Matt Dumba. Speaking of Duclair, he was traded along with a seventh round pick to the Tampa Bay Lightning. And in return, the San Jose Sharks got defenseman Jack Thompson and a third round pick in 2024. So there you have it. West Islander Anthony Duclair is now a Tampa Bay Lightning. You know, Duclair keeps on playing in places where they have great weather. I got to tell you, San Jose, Tampa Bay, Florida. Yeah. He's got to some pretty nice destinations, I have to say.
Not bad.
We've talked about him before, but let's talk about him one more time, and then we're going to move on to the Canadians, okay? I don't even recognize Kotkaniemi anymore. I don't know what's happened to him, man. Like, we knew that he wasn't getting a lot of ice time. He got 10 minutes tonight. It was zeros across the board. He got off to a real good start this season, and I don't know if it's been the last 40 games or so, but it's been all downhill. Have you been able to put your finger on what's going on with this player?
Honestly, I haven't been watching him the last couple months. Haven't been too busy scouting amateur guys and watching the Habs. So that's the first time I saw him in a while. Came darn close to having an assist. I mean, and it would have been, what, about his third point in the last 40 or something crazy like that. So, yeah, he's lost his confidence, obviously, at this point, and because he hadn't been scoring. So, right now, he's definitely in the midst of his worst slump probably ever as a pro, maybe going back to year two. Similar to that.
Yeah.
So, disappointed. I thought, like you say, he got off to that great start. And I was saying, see, guys, what did I tell you? Just needed some time. And now, I'm eating those words. So, hey, you can never predict how a career will go. So, obviously, he's still young. Obviously, he can still bounce back. I mean, he was looking good last year. He had made good strides in the start of this year. But I can't explain it, Tony. I don't know. I don't understand.
His first season, from a points perspective, everyone knows there were weaknesses in his game. I mean, there were some balance issues, you would think, in his first season. He didn't look like he was very, very stable on his feet. But he picked up 34 points in 79 games as an 18-year-old. I mean, that's a pretty encouraging stat line. And a couple of years after that, he scored a couple of big goals for the Canadians in the playoffs. Even the next year after that, I think he had scored 4 goals in 10 games in the playoffs. A couple of years after that, he had scored 5 goals in 19 games when the Canadians made it to the final in the playoffs. That was not too shabby. Like you talked about last year, he had his best year in the National Hockey League where he had 43 points in 82 games. Grant, they say that sometimes when a player enters the National Hockey League too soon, too young, that he could still have good years, but eventually it catches up with him and it ends up burning him. I wonder if that is what has happened with Kotkaniemi.
Well, you know, we could dissect that for hours on end, probably. I don't have the answer for it. He's underachieved, and you can blame a lot of things. And at the end of the day, the onus is on him. I don't know. He's got to get it. He's got to get her straightened around. There's no one else. You can blame Canadiens management. You can blame the scouts for picking him. You can blame whatever. But at the end of the day, it comes down to the player, and he's not getting it done. So, I'm his biggest booster. I hope he turns it around and becomes the top two center that a lot of us thought that he would be. And obviously, right now, that doesn't look like it's happening.
Yeah, Grant is a very big booster. As a matter of fact, if his battery would ever go dead, he'd be there to give him a boost. I thought that was funny. Probably not. All right. Okay. Let's bring up the Montreal Canadiens lineup if we can. Especially, you know, I want to say hello to everyone watching us, by the way, on YouTube Live, on Facebook Live, and on Twitter Live. And I want to mention, by the way, that the past couple of nights have been pretty awesome. So two nights ago, we had the most people on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter that we've ever had. Wow. It was over 1,400. And last night, we broke our record and ended up being the most people we've ever had on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter ever. We had 3,732 people on at the same time last night.
Excellent.
All right. Right now we have about 1,300, and we hope to be able to pass that number of 3,732. We hope to be able to do it tonight. So I think we're going to give you a pretty good show. Okay, Suzuki, Witzlaf, Koskin, Caulfield, Newhook with Armia and Joshua Roy, Evans with Anderson and Gallagher, RHP with Ylinen and Pearson. On defense, Matheson, Gooley, Jack Guy, Savard, Struble, Harris, and Samuel Montembeau got the start in goal. Let's bring up the score sheet if we can. All right, there you have it. Joshua Roy, which looked like, you know, a rather inoffensive shot, but he's coming down the left wing and he takes a quick shot. No, the left wing was the second goal, which was disallowed. Anyway, he cuts to the middle. He takes a quick shot, which I think surprises the goalie, who gets a piece of it. His third, assisted by Newhook. He later had a goal, which we'll get to, which was disallowed. I really like this player so much, and I'm wondering if the Canadians ever get to a point where they want to go for that Zegras, or they want to go for another player that, you know, I'm just bringing up Zegras like that. Granted, it could be anybody, but if they want to go for a player that can make them better right away, like going out and acquiring a Kirby Dach, I'm wondering, instead of giving up draft picks, will opposing teams ask for Joshua Roy? And will the Canadians be willing to give him up?
Because well, that's like shuffling, this is very, shuffling,
very encouraging player.
Yeah. Well, why give up a guy that is going to be on in your top six to get a guy that's going to be in your top six? That doesn't really, you know. I mean, what? That's one of the guys. The main guy. Like, he's got second line potential all day, Tony. You know, you and I have both discussed that. So
100% doesn't mean
would you trade him to get a second liner? It doesn't.
Well, it all depends on how many years you think it'll take for him to have significant contributions on a second line. Mm-hmm. You and I believe he's a second liner, right? Going forward, yeah. We believe he's a second liner. I'd love to put him on the third line for 2 years. Give him time to be able to develop and grow into his game. Maybe a year and a half, boom, all of a sudden he's on the second line. That doesn't mean they feel that way. I mean, at least, I don't know what Gordon and Hughes are thinking, but
if he keeps scoring three goals every two games, one disallowed, then he'll be a legitimate second liner soon enough, Tony. He's progressing, it seems like, weekly here. So I think he needed to adjust to the speed of the NHL. And, it looks like he's getting more comfortable by the shift almost. So I think he's probably here to stay, and he's a top nine player on the Canadiens now. And one more good off season training, come back to camp confident, know right from camp what the NHL is all about. I could see him. Being a serious, right from day one, being on the second line next year with Dach. They just got to find that other piece, or maybe it's Newhook. You know, maybe you try Newhook for a year with Dach and Roy as your second unit. That has a lot of potential. There's some nice, there's a nice variety there. Dach's got the size, you know, Newhook's got that speed. Wow, with his all-round vision and shot and skill, that might not be a bad second line next year if they end up not being able to find, you know, if the price is too high to get another top six piece. But I think you could do worse than to start the next season with those three as your second unit.
wouldn't be surprised if that kid finds himself on the first unit of the power play one day. Having said that, I fully realize that there's going to be a lot of competition. Nick Suzuki, Cole Caulfield, Juraj Slafkovský, Kirby Dach, Mike Matheson, or Lane Hudson, maybe even David Reinbacher one day. I mean, there's going to be a lot of competition. Who knows who they're going to draft fifth or sixth this year, but you know, I think with some time and some space, he can be very lethal.
I'm a little surprised they haven't tried him on the first unit this year, like since he's been up. To me, I like he's a better passer than Newhook, and Newhook is most effective, I think, when he's utilizing his speed, and he doesn't really do that when he's standing around in the offensive zone on the power play. I don't mind Newhook on the power play, but to me, I think Roy gives him a better playmaking option. Especially, you know, they can get him in the slot and start feeding him the passes there and what he can do with, because I saw it 2 years in Sherbrooke that he can be lethal on the power play. So get him with the smartest, most skilled players on the Habs. They haven't really done that yet. You know, he's been on the second line and second power play. Well, I'm looking forward. And I realize, you know, it was the same. They did the same thing with Slafkovský, right? They're not rushing these guys. But especially with nothing to lose, like they aren't making the playoffs. So why not see how he looks on the top unit down the – I hope they give him some first power play unit time down the stretch here to see if he's a guy that, you know, starting as soon as next year could possibly be on that first unit. Because I think he can play – I saw it in Sherbrooke. He can play the point. Like, he can run things back there with Matheson, you know. I don't see why he couldn't be on it. But when Doc comes back, then, like you say, which of the top four guys would you sit? It'd be, you know, like you got Slafkovský, Suzuki, Caulfield, Doc. Well, which one of those guys would replace? So it might become a pleasant problem, but at least, you know, audition them down the stretch. Yeah. I hope, and give them a look and see.
If Lane Hudson, because the second Lane Hudson is on this team, in my mind, there's no doubt that he's going to be on the power play. He's going to be on the first wave. But if Lane Hudson is not on this team next year, if Joshua Roy really comes into his own and Kirby Dach is back, I mean, they went with five forwards at one point before going with Michael Matheson. It might happen again. Yeah. You know,
Mayhew might be a possibility too, you know.
Yeah.
He's a heck of a weapon on the power play with a shot and he can pass too. So, you know, I think next year will be, they're being patient with Mayhew, but next year, he'll likely get a shot, and he might be the guy on the power play next year. And then Hudson, I think Hudson will probably need a year in the AHL, but you never know. That kid's beat the odds a few times. You know, didn't expect him to be lead all defensemen in scoring as a freshman in college either, and he did that. So,
you know, small guys when they persevere, it's because they have a character and a heart that is just, it's something else. I mean, we saw it in Montreal and, you know, of course, with Brendan Gallagher for a very, very long time. I mean, Gallagher for a guy was a fifth round pick. I mean, there's a lot of people who thought that Gallagher was not going to get drafted. And Gallagher not only got drafted, Gallagher's had a very long career in the National Hockey League. Brendan Gallagher's made a lot of money. Brendan Gallagher had a couple of 30 goal seasons. Brendan Gallagher wears an A on his jersey. I mean, we can debate what he is now. I mean, that's all fine and dandy, but that's not the point, right? Okay, let's get back to the score sheet if we can. All right, okay. Brady Shea, who seems, by the way, who doesn't score a ton of goals, but it seems like every time he plays the Montreal Canadiens for whatever it is, he scores a goal. He actually had two in this hockey game tonight. He ties it at one in period number one. In period number two, it was Neeson assisted by Drury and Chatfield. And then Joshua Roy scores a goal that you would have thought tied up the hockey game, and you're like, wow, the kid's got two out of two. But it was disallowed on the ice for a new hook crashing into Anderson. What did you think of the call?
Yeah. Oh, it was a right call. As soon as I didn't notice it at the time, but once they showed the replay, it's like, oh, okay, that's coming.
Well, back. I didn't notice it at the time, but like when Joshua Roy backhands that puck in, like Anderson's like laying on his stomach and he's got a leg in the air and you're like, hold on a second. That's pretty unconventional.
Yeah. He's not Hasek. Yeah. He doesn't usually do that. Yeah.
No, he doesn't. and nobody did it like the Dominator either. All right. That was number three.
Sorry. That was a nice toe drag though, Tony?
The toe drag was amazing. The toe drag was amazing. Yeah. He's got, so, you know, you talked about the talent and the game slowing down. That's obviously a skill in his skill set. It's a tool in his toolbox are those hands and that quick toe drag, but it takes a while for you to kind of get comfortable at the National Hockey League level, the whole speed and say, okay, when do I find the right time to do it? I'm going to end up getting hit. And now it all comes to with not only timing and adaptation, but also confidence, right? This kid's confidence is at a high right now. Like he knows he can play with these guys. And
he's a strong kid too. He's not easy to knock off his feet. He's pretty solid. So it's another bonus.
Brady Shea gets in behind Cole Caulfield. It was the Carolina Hurricanes that gone on the power play. And then Mike Matheson did a real good play to use his speed. He was brought down to negate that power play and it ends up a 4-on-4. And then there was a stretch pass that found Shea as he got in behind Caulfield in all alone. On Montembeau, he makes it 3-2. And then, of course, the Canadians pull Montembeau and Teravainen to Svechnikov, who goes around Michael Matheson and into an empty net from halfway there. He seals the deal and makes it 4-1 Carolina. So Roy 1-0, Shea 1-1, Neeson 2-1, Shea again 3-1, and Svechnikov 4-1. And there you have it. And now it looks like the Carolina Hurricanes are going to add Guentzel. And if they do, Carolina's top six is going to look something like this. Aho with Teravainen and Svechnikov. And Drury with Neshkash and Guentzel. And Neeson ends up going down on the third line with Stahl and Seth Jarvis, most likely, and got a pretty good team. By the way, you know which pickup I like today? Not a big-time pickup, not a flashy pickup, but I love Colorado acquiring Brandon Duhaime. He's a big-time energy player. That guy is one of the best role players in the National Hockey League.
Yeah. No, Colorado's making some nice moves. They're going for it. Vegas, Colorado, boy, that's going to be a battle royale if they end up playing.
My God.
At some point. And then Edmonton, too. Those three teams are, and Winnipeg's right in the mix. The West's going to be fun to watch this year. I wouldn't put too much money down on any team because I think there's three or four that can definitely come out of the West.
Winnipeg, I don't believe.
No, maybe not, but I don't know. Hellebuck, you know, when you have that goalie that can steal a series, we saw it with Price more than once, you know.
Yeah.
Canadians won some series that they didn't have the better talent, we can safely say, but Price was a difference. Hasek back in the Buffalo days when they went to the Cup final, they had no business being in the Cup final. So
yeah, I love Josh Morrissey on the fence too.
And Morrissey is fantastic. I mean, we saw him live that night, Tony, and remember me telling you just how impressed I was with that guy. And he's been on a streak lately, like putting up great point totals now too, right? So
Team Canada Olympics, no doubt. Team Monahan, Canada Olympics, no doubt.
Yeah. Oh, all day. Monahan is really helping that team too, though. So they're a dark horse. Because of Morrissey, Hellebuck, guy like Monahan fortifying that top six. Their top six is good and their defense is solid. And I think they have the best goalie in the league. So that can take you a long way. You know, if they stay healthy and some other teams have some injuries in the playoffs, who knows? You know?
Yeah. Hey, listen, I'd like to see Winnipeg do well, of course, you know, after we won the Grey Cup off of them. Let's give them a playoff winner too. All right, okay. So who do you think won that deal? The Colorado deal, Casey Mittelstadt, Bowen Byram. Well, and there's another example of what you talk about, that if you draft a defenseman in the top four or five, if you really want to go out and get a forward, you can always trade him and a team's going to give you that forward.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. They took what they thought was the best asset at four overall. And, you know, just like Seth Jones, fourth overall, traded him for Johansson when they needed what they thought was a top two center. Same deal here. Like, it's a deal that it's a need for need deal, right?
Yes.
Colorado's pretty strong on defense. They needed a second line center. They tried it with Johansson. That didn't work. So they needed to pick one up. He just happens to be Buffalo's top scorer this year. So, hey, you pick up top scorer from another team and it costs you a young defenseman that's kind of maybe struggling to find his full potential on a very good team. He'll go to Buffalo. There'll be less pressure. He's not in a win now situation. He'll be able to, they'll be patient with him, develop him properly, give him lots of opportunity that he wasn't necessarily getting. You know, he'll get more power play time and top 4 minutes in Buffalo. And, you know, pair him with a power down the road or Dahlin. Hey, that's a pretty nice, you know, he's not playing with a power or a Dahlin right now. And he wasn't playing with those in Colorado. So,
yeah. And a lot of people, Grant, are wondering why they traded their, you know, their leading point getter on their team, who's a guy that they drafted eighth overall back in 2017 as a centerman. But having said that, let's not forget, in 2019, they drafted center Dylan Cousins at seventh overall. They drafted Savoy a ninth overall in 2022. They drafted Noah Östlund. I think you were very high on him at 16 overall. I think you wanted Krulich. The Canadians to nab him some way, somehow, but yeah.
Well, I mean, they've got Quinn, they've got Paterka, they've got Krulich, they've got Savoy. Rosin was a top 14 pick. Östlund,
they're
top
stacked.
So they've got all sorts of under 25 forward talent. So they, and I mean, Thompson, by all rights, should be their leading scorer. He's having an off year, but he'll bounce back. He's still relatively young too, right?
Yeah.
No, they're absolutely stacked with young forwards going forward here. And I think they want to give these guys opportunity too. Now, with Mittelstadt gone, they'll be able to call up probably Krulich and give him a top six opportunity down the stretch here. They got nothing to lose. Give him an audition for next year as a top six guy on the team.
Yeah.
He's good. Anytime I saw him play against Laval this year, he lit them up. So Krulich is a darn good player too. And then Östlund comes in next year, Savoy. So they're stacked with young talent. So it just made sense. They needed a defenseman. They got a former top four pick that's that young. I mean, good deal for them. It's very similar to the Gauthier for Drysdale deal, really, you know?
Yeah, it's Buffalo. They're going to find a way to screw it up for sure. Hey, want to talk to you about one of your next favorite topics, and which is Slefkovský. I mean, we talked about the fact that he's taken huge strides this year, and once again, the first month was maybe a little bit difficult, and then it took a while, and then all of a sudden, Marty St. Louis put him with Suzuki and Caulfield and took him off after a couple of games. Then he's had him on there pretty steady now for the last month and a half or whatever it is. And at one point he was really, really taken off. We knew it was not going to be sustainable because, of course, I mean, if he was going to be able to do that all the time, that would have been pretty remarkable. But the last couple of weeks is play in defensive zone coverage, which I know is it's not picking on the kid at all. It's normal. Okay. It's normal. It's called growing pains. All right. What are you seeing though? What are you seeing?
Yeah. I'm seeing a 19-year-old that's still, you know, playing in the best league and getting learning lessons, you know?
Yeah.
I think this is great. I mean, it doesn't – rather him having a few struggles defensively when it doesn't – when you actually want the team to lose, Tony, than when you want the team to win, you know? Like, you know, this is all for later, right? A year or two down when they're in the playoff hunt and they're going, or in the playoffs, you know, hopefully he learns the lessons of, I mean, they'll have him in the video room and show, okay, you know, this is where you should have done this. You should have done that. It hasn't all been his fault. He's been on the, like, I mean, like last night, the two goals, where were the defensemen? Or not last night, last game.
Well, like, you know, he ended up having to
cover for the defenseman, and yeah, but he's not a defenseman. So, right, a guy made a play on him that, well, you know, that's not where, like, so you can blame him for it because he was the guy that's in the screen, you know, when the highlight of the goal is there. There's Kostkov. Yeah, but that shouldn't have been him there anyway. It should have been the defenseman. So I cut him a bit of slack with that. And then tonight, the goal there, Caulfield, like just as Mameso said, you know, what they said at the intermission, like Koliakovo said, like Caulfield, it should have stopped the guy from going in. They're at the, It was 2 minutes into a shift and Slaff is out there. And then the guy comes in. You can blame Slaff for it completely, or you can blame Caulfield somewhat. You can blame them being tired. So he's been two or three times last night, he saved goals too, right? He made two or three really outstanding defensive plays last game that, you know, but you look at the highlights and you just see him standing there when two goals go in. So, well, he was bad defensively. Well, he was good and bad. So there's going to be inconsistency with a 19-year-old defensively. I don't know that there's ever been a 19-year-old that was great, was great defensively. There's growing pains, like Crosby and Bergeron, maybe you could argue, but they're freaks, right? Freaks of nature, those two. So,
yeah. At the same time, it looks like this is a club that's been really confused this season with when playing man-to-man, when playing zone. There seems to be a lot of confusion. Yeah,
that's right. You know, and I think it's good that he's having this adversity. I mean, that line's been on for, geez, I don't know how many goals against in the last 3 weeks, but I haven't checked their plus minus, but just goals against the Suzuki line. Man, there's been games when they've been on for three, you know, a lot of multiple games, goals against. I think it's good. I think he'll learn from it. You could see, did you see the look on his face when they showed him on the bench after? Yeah. Like he was just steaming, you know? So they don't have to tell him. He knows, you know? All right.
Yeah.
I can't be standing there watching the puck. But we've seen him play fantastic defensively for whole games, for weeks, a couple weeks stretch and stuff. So it's all Ryan Poehling, I remember, you know, interviewing him when he first came up, and they said, you've got to learn to be consistent. And it's just, for a young player, it may be the most important thing is to learn to play consistently night in, night out at the NHL level. And it's not easy. And it took Poehling probably till this year to finally gain that consistency. But now look at him. He's turned into a heck of a, he's been really, really big part of Philadelphia being in the playoffs this year, you know, at 24, right? So it's learning to play consistently, you know, and it takes time. There aren't many teenagers that can pull it off night in, night out. I'm not worried about it. I think it's just growing pains, and that he'll learn from it. Next year, he'll be even better.
All right, okay. Who's not a Montreal Canadian after 3 p.m. tomorrow?
Oh, may not be anybody. I wish I could say that, you know. I'm starting to wonder, who's going to take Tanner Pearson? I don't think anyone will take Tanner Pearson. I find it odd that Pezzetta sat out 8 straight games. Funny, I wrote an article about it about a month ago that, you know, this guy should never be a healthy scratch again. I showed all these great numbers that showed all that he was doing for the team. And then now he hasn't played in eight straight games. Yolonen
Yolonen can, you know, if it doesn't work out here, he better not complain that he didn't get a chance. He's on a fourth line and plays fourth line minutes, but you got to earn to get more minutes. He doesn't earn it, man.
I don't know.
Very disappointed, Yolonen. Very disappointed.
Very inconsistent when you talk about, you know, a player that's inconsistent, right? I wonder if they've been, what are they shopping him? Is that why they've been doing this? But who, I mean, what would you get for him? It'd be seventh round pick or something, you know? So, I mean, Savard, I guess, is the, if anybody is going to be picked up, I think he's the one that's most desirable at this time. He plays 20 minutes a game and he's making the league average salary. Canadians have one salary retention slot available, so they could, they could retain salary. I think at some point tomorrow when, you know, teams are looking at, okay, well, Colorado did this. Vegas picked up Hanifin.
Toronto picked up Edmondson.
Yeah. You know, hopefully a team will offer a first or an A level prospect, because I believe that's what Kent is holding out for. And
Grant, I'd take David Savard on my team if I was another team going to the playoffs, but I wouldn't give up I wouldn't give up a first round pick or a prospect for him. Like a couple of picks, third and fourth.
You wouldn't give up a prospect?
Well, a big time prospect, like for David Savard, a big time prospect, like a top six or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it all depends on if you think he's the missing piece to win the Stanley Cup, of course. Yeah. You know,
well,
like if you
Tampa gave up what, a first, a third, and a fourth, I think, or something like that, when they traded for him. I mean, I know he's 3 years older now, but
Tampa likes to give up picks and trades.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
They made a couple of funny moves this year, but hey, you can't argue with their success. So we'll see how it works out for them.
No, you can't argue with their success for sure. They've done some really good moves, but the Tanner Janot trade was not a good trade.
No,
they, you know, for Cal Foote and a first round pick in 2025, a second round pick in 2024, a third, a fourth, and a fifth in 2023. That's a lot. Now, if you win the Stanley Cup, you say it's worth it, right? But when you don't win the Stanley Cup, that, you know, and then you start saying, whoa.
Yeah. Well, they made two or three trades over the last 3-4 years that, like, I forget who it was, Coleman, or there were two or three guys they picked up, and it's like, why are you, like, third line guys, you know, third, fourth line guys, and they're throwing around first round picks like they're candy. But, you know, they won that cup, so you can't, you know, with after they made some of these moves, so you can't really argue with it too much. Nick Paul's another
one. I think it was a Barkley Goodrow.
Barkley Goodrow, you know, they paid hefty prices for all those guys.
Yeah, so, you're right. When you win the cup, it's good. You think Jake Allen's going to get traded tomorrow?
I've been thinking that he was going to get traded, but you keep hearing from the insiders that they might be not till the off season at this point. So I kind of thought that it would have been by now that he would go, but you know, part of it depends, I guess, on if Markstrom ends up finally going or not, I guess, but it's looking like he would. If he doesn't, then maybe, but the teams like New Jersey that were in the market, it's almost too late for them now to make the playoffs. So do they trade for a goalie now? Maybe not.
Yeah. Earlier in the week, was on Monday, actually, Eric Engel said that in his opinion, the Canadians were going to trade Savard and pay like half his salary. Okay. Mm-hmm. I say this. I said, no, I wouldn't be surprised if Savard's traded, obviously. Right. Like it's either way. I would not bet money on him staying or going. Okay.
Right.
But if I had to guess, I would say this. I would say that that salary the Canadians are going to retain and pay is going to be on a Jake Allen trade at the draft. I think they're going to pay money on the Jake Allen trade, and I think David Savard will be traded next year at the deadline. That's or, you know, two, three weeks before the deadline, a month, maybe the way Monahan went or whatever. But that's the way I see it going down. Like, how do you trade Jake Allen without giving up money? Of course, or unless you end up picking up a player, and there could be something else, right? You end up picking up a player who's making the same kind of money as Jake Allen, who's got 1 year left on his deal. That could happen too, right?
Yeah. The best asset that Joel Edmondson gets back is a third round pick, it's difficult to see a team offering a first for Savard. Because, in my opinion, Edmondson's maybe even a better, defender. Certainly at playoff time, he showed it with Montreal and he showed it with St. Louis that he can just be he can be a minute muncher, bigger, probably a little more mobile than Savard. So he's every bit as good as Savard, and the best he could get was a third and a fifth.
Yeah.
It may well be that Hughes doesn't get what his asking price is and that Savard remains with the Habs.
Look, if I've had some chats for David Savard, he's out there. I'm not playing him tonight. The trade deadline's tomorrow, 3:00.
Well, that's the other thing. Tonight? That's another thing. Obviously, there's nothing really close or he
there's nothing on the table right now. It could be tomorrow, but right now there's nothing on the table. Yeah. That's why they played him.
But sure. All these other trades are going down and they've already happened. And if there's nothing on the table now, I don't know. It's leaning towards it. If I were to have to bet it, I'd be more 40-60 than 60-40 or higher that he's staying. I think the odds are higher that he won't be going at the deadline tomorrow. And I mean, who else, Pearson, no one's picking him up. Armia, well, I don't know, maybe, but everyone I think knows how inconsistent he could be. He's playing okay now, but that can change in a heartbeat. He was great in the playoffs in that fourth line role for the Canadians when they went to the Cup final. Maybe a team says, let's take him and hope that we get the good Armia. But Kovacevic might be the most likely of anybody, perhaps, to go, because when everybody's healthy, he's just sitting. He's sitting in the stands, like Struble's back now. Yeah, he's playing well.
And I think you could be right on that one. But I had an interesting chat the other day with Craig Button. It was on Wednesday, and we talked about Kovacevic and. You get the feeling that Kovacevic's ceiling is not very high, right, Grant? Like almost to the point where he won't get that much better. He kind of is limited and he kind of is what he is and who he is, right? Yeah. But having said that, when you're limited like that and you're going to end up being a third pairing defenseman and you're always going to be like 1.3, 1.4 or less, okay, and right now he's in he's in under a million, but at one point he's going to go to 1.2, 1.3, 1.4, but he'll never make a lot of money. In a salary cap world, every team would love to have one or two guys on the blue line like that, your five or your six or your seven. And, he's a player in his mid-20s. He's a right-handed defenseman. He's 6'5". I get it. Doesn't always play like it. But so I hear you, and I agree with you that I don't think they love him as much as they love a lot of other defensemen on the team. We know there's a plethora of defensemen. They can't all stay here. But Kovacevic, I think, could be, with his limited talent, a good acquisition for another team because he'll give you cost certainty for a long time.
Yeah. And, I guess if you trade him and you call up a young defenseman, there's going to be a young defenseman sitting out. And you don't necessarily want that either, right? So maybe right now you want him to be the seventh defenseman. because he's not really a big part of the future going forward, right? There's other guys that are, you know, the young guys, right? So perhaps in that, you know, in that, when you look at it that way, well, maybe we keep him around as the seventh guy. He's a character guy. He's not going to complain about it. He'll play now and then. You bring him into the lineup and he's your spare, right? Because if you trade him, then you got to call up a defenseman. Well, then is, you know, who's sitting out? Because you got seven defensemen. Unless they play seven defensemen, but we saw how that worked earlier in the year. It's not the ideal situation. I don't like seven defensemen. So, but you know, if a team comes along and says, well, we need some depth on defense. We need a 6-7 guy. If we have injuries, he can play on our third pairing and he won't hurt. Here's a third round pick or a second round, probably not a second round pick, but you'd have to consider it. I think he might be end up being the guy that goes and the only guy that goes. But I don't foresee it being a really active trade deadline for the Habs. Their big move was Monahan, and I don't see much really brewing.
Well, the interest level in Montreal is definitely going to be elevated over the next 3 days because tomorrow's NHL trade deadline day. On Saturday, the Montreal Canadiens will host the Toronto Maple Leafs. That's a rivalry that has been going on for over 100 years. And on Sunday night, CF Montreal will be in Fort Lauderdale, and they visit Lionel Messi and friends, who, by the way, scored an absolute beauty again tonight versus Nashville. I had one eye on that, and that was really, really something. Grant, I thank you so much for joining me tonight. Always appreciate your contributions. Once again, check out recruits.ca. Check out the website. Miami just tied it. Inter Miami just tied it versus Nashville, I've been told by Sammy at Master Control. Sammy, thank you very much for that. Subscribe to Grant's website for $3.99 per month on a monthly basis. You're absolutely going to love it. It's going to be a one-stop shop in Montreal Canadiens fans, and those who love to pay attention to what's going on with the young players and the prospects will not be disappointed. Grant, I think I'm going to get to bed. I even contemplated doing the show tonight, to tell you the truth, because I'm going to need my beauty sleep, because tomorrow I'm going to do something that I've never done in my 22 years of actually working in the sports media in Montreal. And that is, I'm going to be on television live on NHL trade deadline day from 8 a.m. to 7 p.m.
Wow.
On TVA Sports from 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. And then I'm going to come home, take a shower, take a nap, wake up a couple of hours later, and then I'll be back tomorrow night at 10 p.m. to bring you the Sick Podcast. Once again, I'll be in for Matt O'Han, and we'll recap all the trades. So tomorrow, whether the Montreal Canadiens make a deal or two or three, or they don't make a deal, I will be back, and we'll talk about either the deals they made or the deals they didn't make. Thank you, Grant. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Tony.
You're very welcome. There you have it, Grant McCagg. Special thanks, of course, to Energy Transportation Group, to LabitTB, to Playground, and I'm going to give you the Accent Insurance moment of the game. For me, the moment of the game, it's coming right up.
Accent Insurance moment of the game.
You know, the Canadiens go up by a score of 1-0 on a goal by Joshua Roy in period number one. Brady Shea ties it up at one. That's at the end of the first period. They go into the second. Neeson puts Carolina on top by a score of 2-1. And Joshua Roy scored what appeared to be the game-tying goal at two, but the goal was called off because of interference, of course, on the goaltender. And so that goal is called off. And once that goal was called off, it was Newhook that went right into Anderson. And once that goal was called off, for me, that was a turning point, because on to period number three, they go. And in period number three, Brady Shea ends up scoring what turned out to be kind of like the nail in the coffin goal to make it 3-1, and or the insurance goal. And the 4-1 goal ended up probably being the nail in the coffin, or the insurance goal, which, depending on which way you look at it, either way, speaking of insurance, for me, the insurance, Accent Insurance moment of the game was Joshua Roy's goal, which could have been his second of the game, which was disallowed. Special thanks to our Sick Army, our Sick community, once again for watching. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. Tell your friends about it. We're growing each and every day. The numbers have never been higher than they have been in the last couple of days. I think we're just starting to scratch the surface. I think it took a while. It's starting to kick in slowly but surely. And so once again, please leave us a five-star review on Apple if you can. It's our way of feeling the love. We try and give you our best. 5 days a week, 12 months a year. We don't take any time off. Well, we do on weekends, of course, that is. But then it will be back tomorrow night on Friday night. We'll be back once again. Enjoy NHL trade deadline day. And if you're going to watch somewhere, hopefully you can watch me on TVA Sports. I'll be there tomorrow for 8 a.m. I'll be on air up until about 6 or 7 p.m., I've been told. One thing I know is I'll be bringing in all the pastries for all of them. I'm sure they're going to appreciate that. It's a beautiful thing. I bring them pastries. They keep on calling me back. It's fantastic. I have it all figured out. Jeez. Pretty grateful that they're having me in on such a big day. My first time ever. Better late than never. Have a good one. For Aniello, Sammy, and Juliana at Master Control, they're Cavallaro. I'm Marinaro.
And that's a wrap. Hope you don't miss us too much until next time. Follow the Sick Podcast with Tony Marinaro on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, Google Play, and Apple Podcasts. The Sick Podcast is brought to you by Energy Transportation Group, driven to be different. La Vida TV, embrace your true nature. And Playground, your premier gaming destination.